Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to have you on board with us today as we once again face the issues. It's always our delight and invitation to you to have you to join in the dialogue and discussion with us. Let me remind you, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions or comments, dialogue and discussion. We'll be talking about the coming digital currency control, in America. What would you do if tomorrow, well, maybe I should ask it this way, do you use online banking? Do you go online and pay your bills, go online and make your deposits? Do you go online and use everything online with your bank in digital currency and digital deposit so that you just photo a snap the shot of a picture of a check, email that directly to your bank. It goes in your account. You write your checks. You depend on what the bank says you have left in there based on your digital account in your phone. Do you do that? Most do today. I personally have not been led to do so, but many do that. In fact, most, I believe, do online banking today. What would you do if one day you have your bank account is just closed down, shut off? You have no funds. You cannot buy, sell, or trade. You cannot pay your bills, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you recall just a few weeks ago in Canada, you recall the truckers took a public stand against the forced mandates of the COVID vaccination. Thousands of Canadian citizens joined with the truckers' demand to restore the freedom to the Canadians. You know the story, and we'll go into that a little more after the introduction of the monologue. But do you realize what took place? Because the truckers would not move, Justin Trudeau became a dictator, became an autocrat, became a totalitarian dictator over all of Canada, enforced with the Emergency Powers Act. We call it martial law in America. He instituted that. And when that took place, what happened? They canceled the license of the drivers of the trucks. They suspended their insurance. They canceled their bank accounts. And ladies and gentlemen, everyone that they could get the facial recognition of, they also canceled their banking accounts. They closed down their funds. The orders went out to all the banks in Canada. You cannot accept funding. You cannot disperse funding for any of those that we've issued the requirement on. Literally, the one person, i.e. Justin Trudeau, shut down all banking, all currency, all trade in Canada by one dictatorial statement. Could that happen in America? You bet your boots it could. Will that happen in America? You can count on it. Are we on the fast track for that in America? Absolutely. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about today the coming digital currency control in America. And it's not just in America where that is the prevalent thing, way to operate and carry out business is by the digital currency, but it's happening on a global basis. We'll talk about that. What does it bode for America when the government says you can't buy, sell, or trade? Where are we headed with that issue and that scenario? We want to talk about that today. Love to hear from you. 831-0917, 831-0917. Are you for digital currency in America? Have you heard the latest news with Biden's statement about doing so? That's what we'll discuss on this broadcast today. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion, your input. Ladies and gentlemen, as we deal with issues each and every day, we do so based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is the truth book, as I call it. As Jesus spoke to his disciples in John 8:31-32, he said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then the Lord Jesus in John 14:6 made a statement, "I am truth." And further, he states in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the Word of God that we ought to depend on. If God's Word says something, we need to listen up, look up, smell the roses, if you please, and understand that it shall take place. God's not going to have to go back and rewrite the Bible. He's not going to have to go back and edit out things that he said in the past. If God's Word said it, that settles it, and it shall take place just as he said. And ladies and gentlemen, when you study Daniel, the 7th chapter, Daniel, the 8th chapter, Daniel, the 11th chapter, and Joel and others, and especially then when you get to Revelation chapter 9, Revelation chapter 13, you find there's coming a day that a man will step on the scene that's called the lawless one, the Antichrist, and he will be the one that will control the whole world, and he'll control all currency on a digitized basis. We'll talk about that during this broadcast today. We'd love to invite you to participate in the thoughts and what is being said and where we're going with this. Ladies and gentlemen, it's truth that we ought to depend upon. It's truth that is despised, dissed, and rejected in society today. It was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, in the dystopian novel entitled 1984. Orwell made this statement, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we see that occurring on a pretty regular basis in America today. You can go to the Beltway in Washington, and with the Socialist, Marxist, BLM, Communist, Democratic Party, you'll not find truth. You can go to the Socialist, Marxist news, and you'll not find truth. In fact, I don't believe Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and AOC, or the rest of the group, Adam Schiff, I don't believe any of them could even spell the word truth if their life depended on it. We're watching everything take place that's antithetical to truth, antithetical to morals, ethics, and values, that's against the faith, family, and the freedom in America today. It's the statement, let me read it again, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." We see that taking place today in our great nation. We find the double talk. We find the deception that has taken place for over 2 years, going on 3 years now, with the CDC, the NIH, and the FDA. We see the deception that took place with the FBI and the CIA and all the other thugs with badges organizations on the federal level, dealing with the Russiagate, as it was called, and even tried to impeach President Donald J. Trump based on the premise that he was a stooge for Putin. And all of that's now finally unwinding, and the onions being unpeeled, and we're finding that it was all fabrication, all total lies. Ladies and gentlemen, it's truth that we ought to look for in life today. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. He says in part, "Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the church, Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity," end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus made this statement, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And I charge each and every one of our listeners each day with that responsibility. As Christians, as conservatives, as patriots, and all of them not necessarily wrapped in the same cloth, but in those categories in particular, we need to recognize that we need to depend on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God for truth. And we need to be able to defend the truth, even if it means facing death. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we're close in the age and era when we will absolutely be tracked, tried, persecuted, and prosecuted for telling the truth. We're on the fast track for that today. Everything that's truth about the 2020 election is now called disinformation. Everything that's the truth about the dangers and the deadly aspect of the COVID vaccination is now called misinformation or disinformation. If you say anything about the government, it's considered misinformation and disinformation. What we're seeing today, ladies and gentlemen, is fulfillment of what is said in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, that there'll come a day when right will be wrong and wrong will be right. We're seeing that today in our nation and, yea, even around the world. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full brand, a line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, where can I find that? It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flagpole, about 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, U.S. flag flowing 24-7. Base of that flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 ladies and gentlemen, there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and more. It's a great place, ladies and gentlemen, to work. It's a family-friendly oriented environment. The store Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing all of its employees to worship with their families in the house of God, which is God-ordained and the place that it should be. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Just drop by. Make an application for employment. See what God does with placing you in that family-friendly environment for work in the marketplace at Tools for Time. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Drop in. Complete the application. Wait for an interview. Ladies and gentlemen, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. But let me remind you also, ladies and gentlemen, we'd love to have your call, your dialogue and discussion in relationship to the issue that we're talking about today, the coming digital currency control, the coming digital currency control. Do we have digital currency today? Well, for all practical purposes, yes, but it's just electronic transfer of funds, and it's still very, very serious in doing so. But ladies and gentlemen, just as the truckers circled in Canada by the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, they were there for several weeks, and finally Trudeau decided to use the strong-arm totalitarian form of leadership, if you call that leadership, forced leadership, maybe we should call it, and caused all of the banks, required all of the banks to shut funding down, required the banks to not issue anything in relationship to funding and or transfer funds and or financing. In fact, if anybody in that crowd, by the way, in that several days or several weeks of time circling in Canada, they had no shootings, no burnings of buildings, no storming of the government buildings, there were no riots, just a public stand against Trudeau's refusal to allow citizens to say no to the deadly COVID vax. Also, you'll recall, ladies and gentlemen, that Justin Trudeau's strong-arm response, the government declared a state of emergency, and in that, same as martial law in America. And in doing that, everybody, listen carefully, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, it was low-profiled in the news, everybody that were in attendance to the demonstrations on the streets. By the way, on the streets, they'd have barbecues, they'd have sing-alongs, they would have prayer meetings, et cetera, et cetera. It was not like the BLM. It was not like Antifa in America, where Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and those that are in charge in the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party called them peaceful demonstrations, where they were burning buildings and shooting police officers, burning automobiles, et cetera, et cetera. It was nothing like that. But nevertheless, Justin Trudeau put everybody in the position that if you even attended those demonstrations, your bank accounts were shut down. I read an article about a dear lady that was a single mom, had one or two children, and she was not even able to buy diapers, the formula for her child babies, and she was not able to even buy gasoline for her car. She was not able to do anything because Trudeau's government shut down all banking transfer funds. Now, you might ask the question, and I asked the question, is that possible today? Well, let me just give you a little seed for thought. It has been a low profile. It's been very, very little announcements in the news, been very little headlines about it. But do you realize that we have now, it's been going on for several days in D.C., where the truckers are doing the same thing? I'm looking at an article that says, our last shot at creating change. People's convoy surrounds D.C. Dateline, March the 6th. Traffic on the Beltway encircling the nation's capital was much busier than usual Sunday as the People's Convoy of Truckers showed up in force to campaign to champion freedom and protest the COVID-related mandates. Quote, people are tired. We're fed up at their freedoms being chipped away and crippled, says Chris Young, who is live streaming the event on Facebook from her truck on Beltway as her husband drove. Our kids and our grandkids are not going to be living in the same country that many of us grew up in. She called the event very fluid as the truckers decided against clogging the streets of D.C. When asked if she thinks the protest will work, she replied, I hope it will work. I think that this is our last shot at creating change in America. I believe the country has come together. We've said it before. This sleeping giant has been awakened. Further in the article, it states, we haven't demanded removal of anybody. However, it is if that is necessary to get the changes we want, we may have that to happen, she continued. We want the emergency powers ended, which will do away with mask mandates. We want congressional hearings for accepting transparency. We want the government to listen to us. Ladies and gentlemen, that's all they wanted in Canada. That's all they're asking for now in America, in the Beltway, in D.C. How will it be? How will Biden respond to it? What will be the end result in relationship to what we see taking place there? Will it be just as the January 6th, where it was January 6th demonstration, January 6th march to the Capitol, where it was now being referred to as an insurrection? And ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted that we're seeing some of the lower courts and the appeals process that's tossing out cases and is setting people free that have been charged incorrectly, that have been charged, overcharged in just being there in the D.C. area at the time those events took place. They did not, Nancy Pelosi didn't get upset when BLM burning buildings across America. Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and the leadership on the Socialist Marxist Communist Party called the Democrats, they didn't get upset when police officers were shot, police buildings were burned, city halls were burned, lives were lost, billions of dollars worth of properties destroyed. They didn't get upset with that. They didn't call that an insurrection, but that's what they call the simple demonstration January the 6th. Now, why do I use that as a backdrop for where we're going? Because we're seeing, ladies and gentlemen, some of the same fingerprints taking place that led to what happened in Canada when the Emergency Powers Act was invoked. And I believe, listen very carefully, you've heard me say this before, I believe that by June, July, August, some 60 to 90 days before the election, we're going to find the Biden administration find some reason. It may be because of the Russian war in Ukraine, maybe because it spills over and starts to spread into an international World War III. It may be because the truckers in D.C., maybe because of other events taking place, that Biden is going to, by executive order, declare, listen to me, Biden is going to declare martial law before this election takes place. Now, I may be wrong. I pray that I'm wrong. But I believe that's on the fast track for that to take place. And ladies and gentlemen, that happens, it will shut down all financing, all bank accounts, and will put everybody in the circle that will be at the behest of the federal government, how they want to treat and what they want to do in regard to that. So, ladies and gentlemen, if martial law is declared in America, what will take place? Truckers' vehicles and insurance, as it took place in Canada, truckers' vehicles and insurance was canceled by the government. Truckers' vehicles were towed. I'm talking about now what happened in Canada, and could it happen with martial law and this happening in America? Absolutely. The truckers' license plates were canceled. Anyone who participated in the or stood with the truckers in their demonstrations, their bank accounts were also frozen. all banks were ordered to, by the government, to close all accounts, all lines of credit, online checking, online charge cards, online everything online financially were absolutely frozen, put the government in complete control and charge. The high profile of a single mother, as I stated just a moment ago, where she could not shop for food or do anything for gasoline or travel, even with two children that were at her, their survival depended upon mom being able to have funds to do so. The Canadian government became an autocratic, totalitarian, dictatorial form of government, controlling banking and the funds and the financial transactions. Could it happen in America? That's the point that I'm wanting to underline. That's the benchmark that I want to set for us to understand where we're headed in America today. Ladies and gentlemen, could this happen here? Absolutely. Will this happen in America? Absolutely. Are there plans now to institute government control over all funds, cash accounts, bank accounts, and credit lines in America? Yes, yes, yes. Banks in America today are already operating as arms of the federal government. Did you realize that every banking transaction that you do with your local bank is reported to the federal government? If you withdraw a dollar, if you deposit a dollar, the tracking as to when it went in, where it went out, who it went to, all tracked. Did you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that the banking institution, the banks today are simply an enforcement arm, a control arm of the federal government, already there. It's already a reality. It's not a matter of maybe that'll happen. It's not a maybe perhaps that'll happen. It's already true today that the banking institutions are arms of the federal government, just as big tech today used as arms of the federal government. Yahoo, Google, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all of these big tech organizations are at the operating at the behest and the direction of the federal government. And may I say to you today, ladies and gentlemen, it is being encouraged to go even further to control what you say. Our freedom of speech, our freedom to move about is now in the hands of big tech. The apparatus is already in place. The technology is already there. The reality of the controls by the federal government is already in place in relationship to big tech and what big tech does and how they control the movement and what is done in the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, every check, every charge card, every transaction is now followed, traced, and tracked by the IRS. Banks are literally, financial institutions today are simply reporting everything that takes place to the IRS. But ladies and gentlemen, President Joe Biden, listen very carefully. President Joe Biden, Sleepy Joe, cognitively depleted Joe Biden, just issued an executive order yesterday paving the way for the federal digital currency. Now, before I read a brief blurb of this article, let me say this. If digital currency comes into vogue, and it's not if, like maybe it, could it do that? No, it's on the fast track for that. But when digital currency comes into vogue, all cash will be worthless. Anything that you have as far as cash, currency, or coins will be worthless. At a point in time, you will be required to take that $10 out of the shoebox in your pillowcase and take it down to your local bank, exchange it for digital currency. Did you hear what I'm saying? We're on the fast track for that. We'll talk about that in a moment because it's happening now in China. It's happening in 15 or 20 other nations. It's taking place in Sweden where everything is in a microchip. All of your medical records, all of your health records, all of your military records, all of your police records, all of your financial records, all of your financing, all of your dollars, everything that you buy and sell with in that little microchip that's in your embedded in your body. And people are eager for that, ladies and gentlemen. There's the mindset that it is convenient. There's the mindset that it is helps with making quick transactions. The mindset is that I don't have to worry about a wallet. I don't have to worry about funds in my wallet. I don't have to worry about a stolen charge card. I don't have to be concerned about someone fraudulently using my charge card. It is simply all digitized. It's all where it can be read by an uplink satellite, transmitted through wireless transmission to any bank, to any institution, to any financial organization to buy, sell, or trade. at the press of a button. Here's the article, or one of them. Biden issues executive order paving the way for a federal digital currency. President Joe Biden signed an executive order Thursday meant to explore the possible creation of the U.S. central bank digital currency known as CBDC. This is a digital currency that would be issued by a central bank like the Federal Reserve, unlike cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, which are not controlled by a single entity. By the way, federal government's been mitigating against Bitcoin because they claim that they cannot watch the transaction, they cannot control the transaction, and in the federal government's eye, it is a way to do business on a black market that the federal government doesn't know about and cannot control. So they're adamantly mitigating against Bitcoin. This article further says, the United States must maintain technological leadership in the rapidly growing space, supporting innovation while mitigating the risk for consumers. Listen, it's on the basis that if you have digital currency, it will mitigate the risk for consumers and businesses and the broader financial system and the climate, it says, as the White House statement read. Cryptocurrencies passed $3 trillion market cap in November. And about 16% of adult Americans, approximately 40 million people, have invested in, traded in, or used cryptocurrencies, according to the survey data cited by the White House. Here's the crux of it. It's a five-page article. I'll read a couple of paragraphs. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen issued a statement Wednesday saying the president's orders will support responsible innovation that could result in substantial benefits for the nation, for the consumers and businesses. Listen to their rationale. It will also address risk-related illicit financing. We'll get back to that in a moment. It will control and regulate illicit financing, protecting consumers and investors and preventing threats to the financial system and the broader economy. According to the Atlantic Council online CBDC tracker, 91 countries worldwide are in various stages of implementing a national CBDC, with 9 having already launched one. These include Nigeria, Bahamas, and 7 countries in the Eastern Caribbean. Further, the article states the administration would not outline exactly what regulatory steps it expects to take upon the completion of the research and analysis required for his executive order. We don't want to prejudge, quote, we don't want to prejudge. We're going to do before this becomes a reality, the agency said. We do have to have time to work and to produce our reports and analysis, and we're asking them to do so, end quote. That was from a senior advisor of Biden. We're going to touch on this, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, remember I read in the one paragraph, the digital currency in America is on the basis that it will address the risk related to illicit financing. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that you are a domestic terrorist? I am a domestic terrorist. If you voted for President Trump, you're a domestic terrorist. If you fund a conservative candidate, you are considered a domestic terrorist. Ladies and gentlemen, you're a domestic terrorist if you challenge the 2020 election. You're a domestic terrorist, ladies and gentlemen, if you question whether it was a legal election in 2020. If you question whether or not Joe Biden is a legitimate president, you're a domestic terrorist. If you donate to a conservative candidate, you're a domestic terrorist. If you stand for President Donald J. Trump, you're considered a domestic terrorist. If you stand before a school board and challenge the school board and teaching pornography to your children and calling it the LGBTQ sodomite agenda and the murder by way of abortion, you're considered a domestic terrorist. So, ladies and gentlemen, with digital currency, if you give to the wrong candidate, or if you give to a church, or if you give to something, an organization or group that is not approved by the federal government, you could be considered a domestic terrorist. And what would they do? They'd shut your money off. Push the button and you are penniless. Push the button and you're broke. Push the button. You can't buy, sell, or trade. Does that sound like someplace that the Bible talks about in the future? Absolutely. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to discuss that in depth following the top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back in just 1 minute.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.